It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We ride here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is Unrivaled. 97.5 1280 The Zone of the Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. We just flew through that first hour, so we're hoping that the same thing happens for the rest of this thing.
Do you know who was amazing?
Who?
Fernando Valenzuela.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I love watching all these sports biography things. Yeah. They're fascinating.
The problem with guys like Fernando Valenzuela was
good.
But the problem with Fernando Valenzuela was it looks like your chubby neighbor could be a starting pitcher in the Major League Baseball. I'm not saying I'm mad about it because what I'm saying is if you put me in those pants in one of those jerseys, I would look like Bartolo Colon or Fernando Valenzuela, and you'd be like, Bob, the bottom button on that shirt looks like it's really hanging out there.
But this guy, he looks that way, but he actually wasn't that.
I know, but he had that punch, especially toward the end of his career.
Yes.
That you were like, Fernando Valenzuela is amazing, and
where he came from, like the humble home.
No.
And the town that he lived in. And this kid was 19 years old. Like, he was not old. And he moves to Los Angeles.
Right.
Like the big time. This is the Dodgers. And starts out his career.
I didn't even
opening day starter.
Yes.
8-0. No one could hit him.
When I'd watch him, I'd be like, this guy. And again, as a kid, you're watching him and you're going, this dude is nuts. And I hated the Dodgers, but I liked Fernando Valenzuela because you remember that smile he had on his face? I mean, he's just.
And he'd get that high leg kick and he'd close his eyes and look up into the heavens. Wouldn't even look at home plate.
And you'd be like, as soon as he did that, whoop, he'd look up and you'd go, well, he's not going to hit anything. Strike right down.
You know what that was? You know what that was?
A little prayer? What?
It was just, I'm cleaning my mind.
Is Tommy Lasorda dead?
Yeah.
Oh, he died last year.
Yeah. I'm clearing my mind of all of, like, any thoughts,
And
then I open them and I just hit the target. That's all he did. It's amazing.
It's always wild. Guys like him. That's a good name to bring up. Haven't thought about
Fernando Valenzuela
for quite some time. Let's start the show off with the cut as we usually do. Let's jump into a little bit of a discussion here on some of the NIL stuff. I am absolutely I'm fascinated by how the next few years and really the next 20 years in college football are going to be affected by how NIL is going to go. These guys getting paid, what works, what doesn't. See where we land on this thing, but let's start everything off with the cut. Let's do it.
The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by the University of Utah Health. University of Utah Health, you can get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. University of Utah Health. Visit uofuhealth.org. Proud sponsors of the cut. Kirk Herbstreit, Scott Herbie said something interesting. Says, I don't know if the money in NIL is life-changing, said Herbstreit. I think it sounds good, but when you really get out there, there are handfuls of guys that are making some good money. I just worry about these guys chasing short-term money to potentially wreck their futures. Scott, what does that mean, chasing short-term money to potentially wreck their futures? When you say to potentially wreck their futures, why are they wrecking their futures if they're earning money short-term?
Well, if you've ever been a poor college student, maybe Kurt Herbstreit never has. I don't know. When you don't have the ability to like make a living while you're going to school, it's and there's so much demand on your time. It can be a challenging thing for a young person. But here, I said this on our show the other day. Here's the reality: most of these kids are not going professional. Like the numbers just they don't bear out. So if they get a little bit of money and they go play a college sport, and after they're done, they have their degree, where is that wrecking their future? If you walked out of college, now I don't want to get in all your business, Alex.
Yeah, yeah.
But you graduate with a degree, right? What would having an extra $50,000 have done to you when you graduated from college?
Right. Well, it wouldn't wreck my future. That's one way to look at it, right?
Sure. I mean, what would it do for you? I think of so many people.
So I'm one of these lucky people who, first of all, I went to BYU, which is not expensive in the first place comparatively, right? Right. And I walked out of college with no college debts.
Right.
With no like student loan debts. None of that. I had debts, but it was because I was dumb with credit cards. That was very different. Those aren't student loans, by the way. Those are just being dumb loans.
Right.
So I think about it and I'm like, what is he talking about? Because my life would have been, I'll tell you what it would have been, because when I graduated from college, I also had a job lined up immediately, which is also something that was a massive, you know, blessing, because I was going, okay, I've already got something lined up for after I graduate. And I started working at KSL as a reporter for $35,000 a year, right? So $50,000 in my back pocket versus earning a $35,000 a year, salary,
right,
17 years ago. And every person that graduates in broadcast journalism, I'm telling you, they live the same thing. I can't tell you how many of my TV friends who are like, I started out in Anchorage, Alaska with a $21,000 salary. They literally paid people that kind of money. And I'm not that old. And so when he's saying this, it just sounds like another like grasping at straws by somebody who is like, it's not what I had to go through, and so it's probably not good. That's what it feels like with Kirk.
No, 100%. It feels to me like that they just think that this whole NIL deal, that the fact that these players can actually monetize their name, their image, is just somehow going to wreck all of college football.
Right.
And the reality is there are so many opportunities and so many – when you go to a college, you do not know how it's going to turn out. You don't know, like, the coach may get fired. They may have four or five guys ahead of you. They may like a guy. They may – because these coaches are going to tell you anything to get you to sign with them. And then all of a sudden you get there and you go, whoa, like there's no shot of me ever playing here. And I can now go somewhere else. I think of what a great opportunity. Now, I know they need to manage when and how guys leave and all that stuff. But to actually get some compensation and get a small piece of the pie and be able to find the right niche for you, I think is amazing.
I don't get why he says that there's going to be a wrecked future by somebody chasing short-term money. The reality is that all of us that were in college at any point, you can say that we were all chasing money. That's the exact reason. I mean, I don't know. I'm not super altruistic here in saying that. My parents didn't send me to college just for the education. I know it's a shock, but most parents are like, but what are you doing after graduation so that I don't have to pay your bills or help you out in the future when you get married and you got to live in my basement? What are we going to do to be able to get you to the spot where you are self-sustaining? And somebody, I don't know what the chasing the money part is that he's talking about. Of course we know not every player is going to get six figures or seven figures.
No.
But let's say somebody gets that deal. Look, have you seen Jaren Hall's face on these billboards out there for a local credit union? Have you seen Cam Rising talking about Les Olson Company?
Right.
Have you seen, you know, have you seen these guys going around? And guess what? No one's looking and going, dude, you, how dare you sell your future for that credit union money, dog? It's like, no. This is a smart move by these guys who are limited in what they can do job-wise anyway. Right? You can't have a full-time job when you're a scholarship athlete. Not allowed. So earning money, when you say these gobs of money, of course, these players all know that the likelihood of them getting a seven-figure deal when you go to BYU, pretty low. You know, a six-figure deal even when you're going to the University of Utah, pretty low. But what you can get is a little bit of walking around money, and frankly, that's not going to ruin anything. I when they say they're chasing the money, is he saying that they're skipping classes to go do these things, that they're losing out on a – half of these guys aren't even going to get a degree anyway. In some of these cases, in basketball, forget about it. They go for 1 year anyway.
All right. So if you're like a Ben Simmons and you go to LSU.
Remember how much he said that was a giant joke?
Right. And no, and it is, and it was, right? And so if you're a player and maybe you're not missing out on, you know, that maybe you're missing out on the college experience. The Tim Tebow college experience, where it's all about your school, and there's something to that, right? There really is. I think one of the best things that's happened at the University of Utah is the culture that they've created inside that football program. It really those players, it means something to be a they sing the fight song. They're engaged in their school. They're a part of the whole experience, and yeah, that's something that money can't buy you. And I think some of this where guys are leaving a program and going somewhere and just, you know, I'm just a hired gun, or I'm just, you know, I'm just going to try to find the very best opportunity. And because the reality is most guys just won't go play professionally. And so I think that might be more of what he's referring to. And that's something to certainly consider. If you look at Cam Rising, here's a guy who started out of Texas, and he left Texas, and probably goes, thank goodness for that, because the culture of Texas is terrible. He comes to Utah, gains the starting spot, and then loses it. And it's a guy you just go, probably never will play, right? And he's probably like, shoot, maybe I should transfer, and he doesn't. And he sticks around, and he really turns it around. And there really is something to be said for kind of sticking it out and staying somewhere and kind of fighting it out. Because most people, when they leave a program, I was just thinking here a minute ago, and it's certainly not for NIL money, but, you know, maybe some of it is, who knows. But they leave a program. How many guys that left the Utah program have flourished? Can you think of a lot of them?
Like
went in the transfer portal.
No, in fact, well, there's two things that happen. One, we forget immediately about you.
Yeah.
And then, unless you do something great, and then the reason we can't think of those guys is because it doesn't happen.
Like what about BYU? I mean, who left?
Maybe Francis Bernard.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think guys who left in the middle of everything.
I mean, you have Xavier Carleton that left Utah. He's now starting at Cal.
Right, but again, most of the time,
it doesn't.
The short term thing that you need to worry about are the guys that think that you know, they're second on the depth chart as a freshman means they need to get out of there.
Right,
like that's hard for me to stomach. Sometimes you go,
it is for me too.
Come on, kid. No, you're going to play here, but you lost the starting job. Just for right now. And my heavens, you know how important it is to have a good backup. Who were we talking with last week? I think it was when we were speaking with Pete Futak, and he said, how many of these guys, they see the depth charts come out and they immediately just bail?
Yeah.
The spring depth chart. And coaches avoid spring depth charts now, even though the players know where the depth is, but they avoid putting those depth charts out there because they don't want other teams poaching their guys.
And you look at Baylor strategically didn't do. They did post it. They go, we're going to let you know right off the
bat. And then it was like the gentlemanly thing to do. It's like, hey man, I want to be able to go and I want you I want you to be able to be there and to be like, you know, be a part of this program. These kids, here's the other thing that Herb Street said, and I can't tell if he's upset about it or not. From what it sounds like, he might be. But the other interesting thing he said is, with TV networks, I've never said this publicly, but with TV networks giving a lot of money to college athletics, I think it's inevitable that eventually the players are going to have it, whether it's a union or somebody's going to represent them. They're going to say, hey, why not allow us to have a share of this television money? Would you be opposed to network revenue coming into the pockets of the college kids?
Well, so then it becomes an issue of they become employees. Right, because they have to be employed by whom? The school, or are they independent contractors who are working for the school? There's got to be some kind of, like, in order for them to actually, that right there, because I've thought the same thing, but it actually gets super messy when you all of a sudden become, you know, an employee, because what you are is you're a student at school and you're getting a scholarship, you know, and then all of a sudden you become like the coach, you become an employee, and I don't know how that looks, but it certainly changes the dynamic of the student athlete, and then you get into, because how do you compensate these players? How do you structure all of it? Most of them are not going to be good enough to go on beyond college and play.
But you don't have to, and I don't know what carving that out looks like. But what if there was a share of some revenue that was passed around to some of these colleges?
So Notre Dame
has a kajillion dollar contract with NBC every year, and they could definitely put 10 grand in the pockets of all the players on the roster.
So here's what I would do. Why not put together a fund for every school, and that fund at the end of your career in college, and maybe this helps keep players like in a school. And you just say, if you're in this program and you end and you graduate, there's money waiting for you to kind of help kickstart your life after you're done.
So I just had a friend text me and he goes, no, that's where I draw the line. On what we're talking about, on the TV revenue sharing part.
That's where all the money is.
Well, but
that's where all the money comes from.
But when he says he draws the line, that's where he says he draws the line on the professional part of these guys getting paid to be on TV and then getting network money for it. The implication is all the NIL stuff has been rolling out now has been fine. Like, we've just kind of adjusted to it.
Yeah.
TV revenue. Oh, no, that's where these guys aren't amateurs anymore. I just disagree with it. I have changed, and I will tell you, I have changed my stance on college kids and scholarships. I used to be like, grow up, you get books paid for, you get all this stuff, you get the education. So, I used to be on board with that. And now I'm like, hold on a minute.
So you're Under Armour or you're Nike or you're whomever, and all the schools, they have a deal with that
right.
program,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
And every player
gets a bunch of free gear.
Gets all kinds of gear to walk around, to wear, and they're going to put it on social media. They're talk about the swag, all the things that they get. They're on television. And the university gets all that money. All of it. Well, the athletic program does.
Right. And then the athletes, they go, we got a bunch of free gear.
We get free gear. Which if you probably, the value of that gear, if it the actual cost of what it costs to make is
pretty low.
Dollars.
Yeah.
Dollars.
It is cool, though. I mean, not if it's Under Armour, but it's cool.
So here comes
the hate mail.
There's all kinds of opportunities, and there's revenue that's coming into these schools. You know, I just
think that the idea of, because it sounds like the same thing here, where it's like, well, these NIL deals, they're making monsters out of these kids. They're trying to go after deals instead of worrying about their education. What if we start paying these kids with TV network money? Kirk Herbstreit? You know how much TV network money Kirk Herbstreit pulls in for commentating on these games?
Quite a bit.
A lot. And that's his job. And you know what? The market bears out that's what he's worth.
And I don't think...
I'm happy for him.
And I think it's hard for Kirk Herbstreit to say that. you know,
then he'd be sharing,
he's profiting off of all of this stuff.
It's the same. It's the same version of when coaches say,
it's like when people move in the neighborhood from another state and then they want to change all the laws and, you know, now that I'm here, I don't want anyone else to move in, kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Which I actually hate. So
it turns out you just hate a lot of people today.
No, I don't. No. No, like Fernando Valenzuela.
Hey, there you go.
He's okay.
Are we working Dolly Parton into the show somehow,
oh,
too?
Oh, well, we always
try to figure it out, right? All right, let's take another break. When we come back, Jeremiah Jensen from KSL5 Television is going to weigh in. Locally, Randy Ray announces his retirement, Weber State's basketball coach. That's a longtime contributor to the state of Utah's basketball program up there at Weber State. And so sad to see him announcing that retirement. We've got this favorite Jazz jersey bracket, too. I'm going to ask JJ about that one. And with Tennessee buying out that game against BYU, I'm going to see where JJ lands on that one as well. So don't miss it. Jeremiah Jensen up with us next. It is 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.